Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And today, we're going to be talking about what is sexual well-being. Are you sexually healthy? How would you even know if you were sexually healthy? Do you fantasize about things that you wouldn't tell a soul? Or do you have fetishes that you feel ashamed about? Or am I just going too far here? Like, you might just be plain old guilty and ashamed about being touched or having sexual intercourse. I don't know. My guest today, Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, is a recognized relationship expert specializing in sexual well-being and education, as well as recovery from intimate partner violence. She works with a diverse range of individuals and relationships. She conducts original research, offers workshops, and is available for professional consultation. She's a university instructor, a published author, a respected presenter, and a dedicated activist. Dr. Ruthie can be found at exploringintimacy.com. So she's my guest today. I'm welcoming her to the show because I want to know what sexual well-being is and how you even measure that. So welcome to the show, Dr. Ruthie. Great to have you.
Hi, Lori. I am so happy to be here on Sex and Happiness. What an amazing place to be.
Yeah. It's everybody's birthright, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes hard to find.
Yes. Absolutely hard to find. So in this concept of sexual well-being, I find myself in a big question mark. I mean, how does anyone know if their sexuality is healthy?
Yeah. And, you know, I think the title of the show here says a lot about it right there, just about sex and happiness. When we look at sexual well-being and we're trying to gauge where we are, sometimes the worst thing to do is to look around and compare because we're surrounded by so many muddled, mixed, and negative messages and lots of positive ones too, but they don't necessarily apply to us as individuals. And I think just looking inside and feeling, are we happy? Do we feel like we're growing in our sexuality? Because there's no end point of sexual well-being. It's constant growing and development and discovery. Should always be fun and exciting, neutral at the worst. And so looking inside to see if we're feeling that process and if we're feeling that sense of joy in the process.
So that's what defines sexual health. If we're happy, if we're growing, if we find joy in the process.
You know, I think that's a really good indicator. I bet everybody has a little bit of a different definition, but I think that if you're feeling good about those things, then you're in the right place.
And even if you have, isn't it possible to have both? Like, I imagine that some people feel really good when they're having sex mm-hmm. and feel really exciting and excited during the conquest mm-hmm. of sex, or even if they've been with the same partner for a long time, the prospect of having sex tonight, I imagine they feel pretty good about that. And then there's this after thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had it in my life. I don't have it anymore, but I have had it in my life where there was this after feeling of, maybe I shouldn't have done that, or am I a good girl, or all these things, you know. So I'm thinking that people have both.
Yeah, I mean, and it is that growing, ever-evolving situation, and our message, our hearts, our minds, our body gives us messages about new places to explore and processes and different ways that we're changing. We're never the same sexual being 2 years, even 2 days in a row necessarily. So when we have those messages, maybe it's something to process, that it's a thought that's come in from outside us that may or may not pertain to us, and we have to evaluate it. Maybe it's a call to us to change and explore and discover our growth too.
Well, I know that people are attending more and more seminars on sexuality. Mm-hmm. There's all of a sudden, I mean, when I first started to take Tantra classes and then teach Tantra classes, it was in the 90s. It was in a little 1996, 1997, 1998. And there weren't that many teachers around of sacred sexuality or even not sacred sexuality, just straight up. There weren't sexologists. I think the first time I ever met a psychologist who said she specialized in human sexuality, she was rare. Mm-hmm. And now there are people, you know, there are these degrees all over the place where people can become sexologists. There are people who've gotten their PhD in it. You're a doctor. I'm not exactly sure what your doctorate is in. You could tell us.
Sure. I have a PhD in child and family development. So I come from a mental health background, also a doctoral certificate in family therapy, and the master's are clinical social work and family therapy. So I have that traditional mental health background, but then in order to specialize in sexuality, I took a lot of extra trainings through ASACT, the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, and other organizations to help supplement that. A lot of people don't know how much sexual health and well-being training therapists get. If they don't pursue any extra, they don't have very much, just a little bit. So that kind of grabbed me, and I kept rolling with it from there. But you're right. This is very much a burgeoning field. And that therapist you met was not only fairly unique, she was pretty brave for being out there, too.
And I remember thinking, I don't remember her name, luckily, but I remember thinking that in the course she was in with me, she was very standoffish. Mm-hmm. And that was my stereotype anyway of therapists at that time, that they were working on other people's problems to work on their own, and they weren't really jumping into the pool. I don't think that anymore, by the way, but at the time, it was a stereotype that I held, because she wasn't particularly forthcoming in her own pushing herself into the experiences that the rest of us were pushing ourselves into to learn about sacred sexuality. So now there's this whole field of people out there. There's you, who I met recently at a conference, and there were panels full of people at that conference who were sex educators. And it begs the question, what is going on here? Like, you know, what is all this education, sexual education? What's going on with people, at least in the West, that's making all these people explore sexuality? What's changing? What's different?
You know, it's an amazing transformation that we're seeing in the field, and we're seeing it throughout different areas of the field of all kinds of sexuality enhancement and products. We're seeing a change from sex toys as novelties to sexual well-being items. You can pick them up in your local pharmacy or department store. You can find a vibrator marketed by major condom manufacturers. It's seen as so every day. And we've all seen those lube commercials for the guys and gals lubes, where they show the enhancement that goes on with that product, or at least what they say will happen with that product. And things are really changing. It's a very, very exciting time. And I think that people are beginning to understand that happy, healthy, enjoyable sex is something that we all deserve, regardless of our past experiences with it, regardless of the societal messages that we've been surrounded with, or the messages that we've even given ourselves, that we have a right to this, and that this is something we want throughout our adult lifespan. There's no end point to it anymore. And there's still taboos around it, but we're starting to break those taboos. So it's very exciting that people are standing up and saying, I want more out of this. I want more pleasure, however you define that to be. And I deserve that, no matter what's happened before and what it's been like before. And that's a wonderful thing. It saves relationships. It makes for better individual health. The research is just overflowing with how good for you good sex is, whether you're actively having it or you just have a good emotional relationship with the concept of your sexuality and your sexual energy.
This is a beautiful point, and it really does speak to the title of the show, Sex and Happiness. You know, it is our birthright. It's our birthright. I always say to people that if we were meant to not feel, or meant to not have these kinds of juicy sensations in our body, we would have been born in something other than skin, which is our largest sensory organ. We would have been born in metal, mm-hmm. You know, something that doesn't feel. So So I guess this is a time that people are really starting to come into their birthright. We're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, I'd like to talk with you more about this because there's a lot. This opens up so many questions. So I just want to let people know, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler, your host, and today I am talking with Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, and we're talking just about sexual well-being. And I want to pique your interest also. She's going to be telling us about her new book coming out, which has to do with talking dirty. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent LifeWave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And my guest today is Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, who is talking to us about sexual well-being and how there have been these enormous changes in the marketplace and in our culture and in life about sexual enhancement being more the norm now rather than novelty. And I think that's a good thing. Although for me and Dr. Ruthie, I don't know how you feel about this. I do beg this question about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, my Catholic high school days are rushing back to me right now.
Well, I was not brought up in Catholicism, and I actually never read the Bible, so I don't even know anything about this, but there is sort of this questioning about the turmoil going on in the world, like the non-occurrence of world peace, if you will, and then people trying to make peace in their bodies with sexuality. Like, how does that compute?
You know, it, in a way it makes sense to me. I think that when we become aware of the level of violence that surrounds us in our neighborhoods, in our countries, in our worlds, we feel that urge to counterbalance it with a sense of peace and well-being. But, you know, I also want to say that just because we're more aware of this violence and these threats today than we have been in the past doesn't necessarily mean that there's more of it. It just means that we're more aware of it and it's brought into our houses a lot more.
So, okay, I see what you're saying. Doesn't mean there's necessarily – yeah, well, we're more aware of it because it's – not only does it come through television, but now it comes through all the social media. It comes on our phone.
Oh, sure. My phone is like the death count every day on its news feed as I'm flipping through it. You know, internationally, what are all the horrible ways that people died in the last 5 hours pumped into my phone?
Well, that's a horrible thought.
That's what it feels like.
So it's good that we're focusing then on pleasure and on people being allowed to have sexuality and their birthright and feel healthy about it. Now, when you see people or you counsel people about their sexual well-being, I mean, what kinds of things do you see? Is it like what I said in my opening? Is it that people are fantasizing about things they would never tell anyone? Because I find that. I have people who fantasize about things that they might tell people in a class, but they would never go home and tell their beloved.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, I hear a wide range of things. And one thing that it feels very good to be able to assure my clients is that whatever they have to tell me, I've probably heard something akin to it, although it's going to be individual and specific to their situation. It's not that everyone's the same, or I've heard it a million times, but it is going to be a little hard to surprise me because I've been doing this for a few years. Although when somebody does surprise me, it actually is a really happy thing. Because oh, yes, there's still surprises out there.
Okay, now you have to say what you've been surprised by.
Oh, my goodness. You know, one of the most interesting things actually came up with a radio interview with a friend of mine that I was doing, Shanna Katz, and she came up with just a basic example for me to work with on the spot that just cracked me up. I'd never heard it before. What if somebody wanted to be a predatory carnivorous dinosaur and they wanted their partner to be a leaf-eating peaceful dinosaur? I thought, well, that is one I have never heard of before.
So, this would be a sex fantasy?
You know, she said, what if that was the fantasy? How would you suggest that they bring it up to their partner? Which I just cracked up at that because
Shanna Katz would come up with that brilliant mind.
That was original. That was original.
You know, she's been on my show a couple of times. She's been on my show twice. We once talked about sex toys. We had a program about that, and we also had a program about sex for people with disabilities, which was quite an eye-opening show for me. So yes. She's no stranger to this show, Sex and Happiness.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. But yeah. You know, I would say that although I do get a wide range, my typical client, and this is who I really wrote the book for too, is kind of that secretly daring person, who, you know, blends in really well with traditional, you know, society and just, you know, strives to be a good person and kind of in the middle of the group with things. But inside, they're really looking for more sexually. They have this secretly daring side and they don't want to hurt or offend anyone with it. And they're really kind of nervous and not sure how they feel about it. But something too about it is calling to them. They want to find a way that it can be a happy, healthy part of their sex lives, whether that's their first orgasm or helping their partner to have their first orgasm, whether it's a fantasy about dressing in different things or saying different things or behaving in different ways, whether it's, you know, the desire to explore each other's bodies more, or, you know, as Shanna probably talked about, changes that happen in our bodies with an injury or disability or a medical treatment or just changes of life.
Or age, right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reading Joan Price's book right now on Talking Out Loud about sex and aging. It's absolutely a fantastic book, really for any age, but, you know, especially bringing up those topics.
Well, her she's also, she's been a guest on the show as well, and her topics are amazing. So this is, you're talking about really the sexual well-being as being like the whole scope. Mm-hmm. Of being able to function well sexually, grow and change. Mm-hmm. And one might have to change based on a disability, or one might have to change, or one might want to change based on lack of desire for the same old vanilla.
Sure.
Or one might need to change because they just want to and they want to expose more of themselves to their partner or their beloved or to themselves and have what you said, like be a very sort of straight-laced. Mm-hmm. Person who has some desires mm-hmm. that they've never allowed to depart from their lips before.
Yeah, and that brings up a perfect point because a lot of it ties back to emotional intimacy and connection for all genders and all sexualities, and also about communication and feeling fully accepted and fully able to explore and better able to communicate yourself and your ideas to the other person. Not that you have to present them with a whole new written in stone idea of who you are, but that you can explore that with that other person as well. Whether it's a short-term relationship, somebody's name you don't even know, or whether it's somebody you're going to be with your whole life monogamously.
Yeah, I think this is good. It really does. It does. I mean, it feels very healthy when you're talking about it. It feels very solid and whole. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. It also, I don't feel that you're wrapping it in some beautiful ribbon and wrapping paper in a special box, I feel, and maybe there was a time when this might have had to have a special wrapping, but now it seems that people are sexually knowledgeable enough. They're sexually, what's the word I'm looking for? They have enough sexual experience and there's enough bombarding us over the airwaves and everywhere else. We've loosened up a little bit as a culture.
Yeah, people are getting a little more savvy with it. And even the folks from a real kind of traditional, maybe a little bit more sheltered type background, they're still getting these messages that they deserve the pleasure, that they deserve the emotional intimacy with themselves first, and then with partners if they so choose, you know, and that they deserve the ability to grow and explore, and that it's, you know, sex isn't just this purely functional act that has a specific purpose of, you know, maintaining your marriage or procreation or your duty or to be a good man or a good woman or whatever the case may be, you know, that it actually is a form of expression. And I talk about how sexual intimacy is the most amazing, intimate, vulnerable form of body language that we have with our partner, all of our sexuality, right? Not just penetrative intercourse, but all of that is the most beautiful form of body language that we have. And it takes work. It's not easy. That's why all of us professionals are out there. But it should be some of the best, most fulfilling homework and at-home research that you ever get to do.
I love that notion of research. I think when you say the name of the word at-home research, I heard research a few years ago, like sexual research, and that gave so much permission for people to actually enjoy themselves and have fun. Like if we're researching something, then we're exploring. And if we're exploring, then we have permission to do new things and introduce new concepts and introduce new toys or new whatever.
Right, right. And in a good situation with another person, whatever kind of relationship that is, you know, you have permission to say yes and you have permission to say no, and you have lots of permission for both. And you can try a fantasy and stop in the middle and go, you know what, this is so much better in my head before I ever said it out loud. And you can both laugh and move on to the next, you know, have some ice cream or move on to the next thing you want to do.
That is so the truth. I can't. A lot of my fantasies that I have played out, I've thought in my head, what did I do this for?
it was so much
better in my own Technicolor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to stop here for a moment. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how somebody goes about communicating what they want and what they need in terms of their sexual well-being when they haven't. And then, of course, we're going to get into the talking dirty. So if you just tuned in, please stay tuned. This is Laurie Hamlers with Sex and Happiness, and my guest today is Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, who is talking to us about sexual well-being, and she'll be talking to us about her really racy book. So stay tuned.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, and no unpleasant side effects? If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's H-O-R-M-O-N-E, nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too. You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm talking today with Dr. Ruthie Neustifter, who is really talking to us about how our culture is coming around to sexuality being not only normal, but healthy and desirable and part of our overall well-being. And that's, of course, what this show is about. So when we left off before, we were just really talking about how it's research, you know, how we could explore and make it fun. My question for you is, how does somebody communicate something that they want with their partner when they haven't said anything before? Let's say somebody's been married for 10 years to their partner and things were great and hot when they first got married and they're just so now. Mm-hmm. But they really want to kiss more, or they want to try a fantasy, or they want to go to a store and buy a toy. How would someone go about telling that to their partner?
That is a fantastic question, because so many people are in that place. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is that you're in a normal place. It does not mean that your relationship is failing. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, that what worked before doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with your partner either. It means that your body and your heart and your mind are calling out to you to have a little more fun and to be a team together in that relationship, just like you're a team and dealing with the finances and a team and, you know, raising the kids if you have them or whatever the case may be. You can be a team in this too, to figure out all the fun and exciting ways you can move forward. And those can be little tiny changes, or they can be bringing in as much creativity as you want to. So the first step that I tell folks is, first of all, start to get an idea of what it is you might be interested in exploring. You don't need the final answer. I want this rabbit sex toy in the bedroom with the lights like this and the music like that and the candle over there. You don't have to know that much, but to go in the direction, kind of know what general direction you want to take things so that you can begin to communicate that to your partner. The next thing I like to suggest to people is, remember, this isn't a confession of something wrong. You're proposing an exciting way to make your relationship more emotionally intimate. When we make ourselves vulnerable, we can make ourselves closer as well. So hopefully your partner is somebody who's safe and encouraging and maybe just as shy, but just as curious as you are. And if you can give them a general direction, then you have a lot of exciting conversations ahead about where you can go.
That is really great advice. When I was interviewing Joan Price, she talked about meeting this man of her dreams and how they were older and she needed to use sex toys regularly, mm-hmm. because she just wasn't, there was certain things she couldn't do anymore as an older adult.
Right.
And how at first he was very threatened by that, and how he came around to not only loving a particular vibrator, but calling it his best buddy. Like the buddies were going to make love to her tonight.
That's so. The ultimate non-threatening threesome once you become comfortable with a toy, right? Or foursome or moresome or however many toys you have. And, you know, the new idea, you've been thinking about it for a while. When you mention it to your partner, it may be the first time that it's occurred to them, or that it has occurred to them that you would be interested. So giving someone a little bit of time, you know, is absolutely appropriate. And even talking together and saying, let's come up with ideas. And as long as the other person, you know, doesn't think it's going to hurt or harm them, maybe we can just give it a shot and see how we like it and communicate about it. And we can always stop if we don't want it anymore.
And yeah, I think that's the operative word here. You can always stop.
Absolutely. And you know what? So you blew a few bucks on a toy that you're not going to use again. You learned something. And now you have an idea of maybe different directions that you want to go. And by the way, there's so many toys out there that are cute and non-threatening and made out of body healthy materials that it's getting a lot easier for partners to accept them, because they aren't all these giant kind of crude phalluses, which, bless them, there's a place for them and a lot of people love them, but a lot of people don't like them.
Well, I just thought of a story where a friend of mine, actually a person who's been on my show a couple times also, my friend Bill Pukaitis, told me that he went to a yard sale once in Minneapolis and a woman was selling her vibrators.
Oh my goodness, I want to bought them.
he said, why are you selling all these? And she said, oh, I'm tired of them, I want new ones. So
Yep.
I'm just saying, you know, they're showing up at yard sales now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, there's a whole community of folks that, myself being one of them, that review different kinds of sex toys on our blogs. And we run into that problem because it means you get a big box of them in the mail every month, which, by the way, I have the best job in the world. Then you end up
you have
with a huge
to use
collection.
Them. You have to use them so you can talk about them, right?
Yeah, I either review them myself or I pass them to friends of mine who will be very open about telling me about their experience with the product, so that I can do a review. Because sometimes, you know, something just isn't for me, but that doesn't mean it's a bad product.
Right, right. What's your blog so people can follow you on that blog if they'd like to?
It's right on the main professional site. If you just go to www.exploringintimacy.com, it's all one word. You don't have to capitalize anything funny. That'll get you to the blog and all the information about me and the book. And all of my product reviews are now both typed up and on YouTube video, so you can see or hear me describing them at the same time.
Oh, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us know that. Well, let's move to your book because I think we're going to, it's intriguing. It's exciting. And I didn't know about it. And then I found out about it and I can't wait. So it's The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, right?
That's correct. Yes. And at the printers right now. So it's coming out any day.
I mean, obviously, we kind of know what it's about, The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, but how did you come up with this? What's in it? Tell us some, you know, juicy things about it, because it's such a catchy title. And is talking dirty becoming a new fad?
You know, I hope it's more than a fad. I hope it's a whole realm of communication for folks. Because for me, this book was really a dream come true. This is my first writing outside of academia, and I just was chomping at the bit to get to do it. And Ulysses Press approached me and said, we want to cover this topic, and we're looking for somebody who'd be really good to write about it. And I've been doing workshops on this and blog articles and all sorts of things for ages. So they asked if I would be interested in the book and, you know, what I would want to put in it and things like that. So, you know, we agreed that this is going to be a fantastic fit, and I got to sit and write it, and it was so fun. And for me, talking dirty, especially in this book, it's a form of intimate communication, and it's fun and exciting, and it can take lots of different shapes. You don't have to be the dirtiest sailor on the block to be a successful dirty talker. it's true. And you know what? Anybody can swear. And I live in DC, so I know that anybody in the traffic can whip out dirty words when they want to. But that doesn't make it sexy, right? What makes it sexy is when we are discovering what we want and we're communicating that to our partners, when we're responding to their demonstration of what turns them on and what they want in sexy, receptive ways. And if it's not what we want, redirecting it in a very sensual, gratifying manner for both of us, and using language that describes how turned on we are by them, by ourselves, by whatever else is going on, and where we want to take that together. And that's about intimate communication. We call it dirty talk, but it's about intimate communication.
So basically what you're saying is that it's really the question that I asked you just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It's being able to say intimately, honey, I want to try this, or I've been thinking about this for such a long time, and I say it in such a way that it's such a turn on.
Yeah.
That my partner, of course, wants to gratify that wish or that desire of mine, and gets turned on back by listening to me talk about what would turn me on.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, that thing that you've been thinking about that turns you on, it could be the sight of your partner's body. It could be the feel of yourself undressing. It could be a wild and crazy fantasy, you know, but it doesn't have to be extreme, or it can be. And it can also be something that you don't necessarily want to do. You just want to talk about.
That's a lot of options.
It is.
You give a lot of options there. So anyone can navigate this.
You know, and we get nervous and we get tongue-tied, and oftentimes people try dirty talk and they're not sure what to say, so they kind of emulate their ideas from porn or from, you know, comedy movies or something, and it comes out stale and it comes out generic and it doesn't bring them any closer to each other emotionally or sexually. So it really is a process of figuring out what you want to say, what kind of persona you have when you want to say it, and how you want your partner to receive it, and what you want the goal to be, just to talk dirty, to try living it out, to do some combination of both.
So this is great. We're gonna actually pause here, but I have a lot more questions for you about this subject. So if you just tuned into Sex and Happiness, you're hearing Dr. Ruthie Neustifter talk about her new book, The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, which you can get at Amazon.com. And I have a lot of questions about this that go into some more detail. So if you want to know more about dirty talk, you better stay with us. We'll be right back.
Many times you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try the CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
Well, we're back on Sex and Happiness and we're talking dirty. I love what you said. You, in the last segment, you were bringing the notion of talking dirty to really almost anything, any fantasy, any way that I or anyone would want something, how and we stage it, how we say it, the tone of voice we say it in, the description of what would turn us on. You're opening this up to something so vast. Mm-hmm. Because I have to tell you, when I first talked to you about coming on the show and talking about The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, I mean, all I could think about was saying multiple swear words.
Right. Oh, John, put your mm in my mm and mm it harder. Yeah.
There's a classic Osho video, if people haven't seen it, which gives examples of the words. And I that's all I could think about. And that's not it. That's not what you're talking about. I have to self confess here that I had a lover once who I didn't consider him to be the most talented or skilled or even varied lover. You know, he kind of had a straight routine that when we were together, we did all the time. It really wasn't what I was dreaming of, but he talked dirty to me. Mm-hmm. And I happen to remember that as some of the hottest sex I ever had, because I was so, my level of turn on was so great.
Yeah.
That it took the place of other and varied acts. You know, it's like the hotness was still there because of the talk.
Oh yeah. It brought your erotic mind into it, and it made you know that you were the center of that lover's attention right then, which is so important. And, you know, men and women can both experience this, but I tend to see it more in women, where we have so many things going on in our mind at once that sometimes it can be hard to focus on the erotic and the pleasurable. And including dirty talk can, again, bring our attention and our focus in on that in such a sexy way.
So in the book, do you give examples of how to get started?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely step by step. And it's designed for someone who I would even say is a little bit adverse to talking dirty themselves. Obviously open enough to read the book, but is just really convinced it's not going to happen. And it even is written for the women out there who are not sure what they want, much less how to express it. So it really does start at the beginning and move through. And there are scripts at the back from some of my friends and folks who submitted actual dirty talk scripts from text messages and emails and voicemails. And
throughout. Oh, I love this.
Oh, it's
I
so fun.
I love this.
Throughout the chapters at the beginning of each, there's a little dirty talk snippet from my friend Cameron Moore, who does the phone whore play that's going across the country. She's an actual phone sex operator and does a one-woman show about her job. And so she brought in some of the scripts from her work and from her show that are right at the beginning that are very exciting too. So no matter what level you're at or what kind of inspiration, it's going to be there for you, but it is designed to walk you through from the first steps. And beginning with that sensual language. In the book, I talk about different steps of dirty talk, from the more sensual, least what we would say dirty, to the most extreme type dirty, and taking the stuff and just stopping at whichever stage is right for you. So it could be that you start with a strawberry. And I talk through this whole mindfulness activity with the strawberry. And so, you know, at the end, you have a description of this strawberry, right? So you could say, if you're really describing your senses around the strawberry, you could say, you know, I brought it up to my nose and I smelled, you know, the fresh bitterness of the green and the sweet smoothness of the outside of the red of the strawberry. And I felt the texture of the seed in my fingers, and I brought it to my lips and I could smell it. And as I pressed my teeth to the strawberry, I could feel the skin resist and then yield to my teeth as I bit in, and the juice invited me to taste it deeper. And I was thinking of you.
Oh, that's so hot.
Right? And not a single censored word in there at all, was it?
<That's> so great.
You know, and it's not that you're going to begin with that depth of a statement, but imagine sending that message about a strawberry to your sweetie. And then, as I was thinking of you, I bet you dimes to dollars somebody's going to bring strawberries home for you tonight.
I see what you're getting at here. It's really, we've got to expand the way we think to incorporate this in this way and keep things fresh and keep things new. It's opening up the doors to a whole new expression, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it makes it more intimate too. If you want to take it to the deeper level of not talking about inanimate objects, but talking about your partner, how many times have they said, you look really stunning, or, you know, you're beautiful, or I really like the way that felt with you? And what if you took it to the next step and you said, oh, why? You know, not in that accusing why sense, but in that I want to hear more. What about me is catching your eye that's turning you on? What about what we just did is still just ringing in your mind because you enjoyed it so much? And tell me the details, right? So there's all kinds of levels you can take it to. And what a wonderful bonding experience to just flesh that out a little bit more, no pun intended.
Yeah, I think it's great. And then if people get into the realm of talking dirtier, you know, like actually using swear words, or talking to each other about things they would never dare do, but they have a fantasy about.
Sure.
And they do it. And I mean, it could even involve things beyond their boundaries.
Oh, sure.
How do people reconcile the shame they might feel afterwards that they went so far with somebody? Because I imagine that could happen.
Yeah. And there's a process of giving ourselves permission to say things that we don't want to follow through on, and to alert our partners that I'm sharing a verbal fantasy with you right now. I'm not making a plan. And there's also the permission that we give ourselves and each other to say, you know what, that thing I talked about before, it didn't feel as good to say as I thought it would. And I'd just rather not share that fantasy anymore. I don't care for it. And so having that context of always being able to backtrack, that's okay. You're not signing a contract when you say something dirty to someone else. And if you are, then you're with the wrong partner because they're not treating you as they should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
So good.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I had a quick example for you. Can I share it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is an example I use in my workshops a lot and in the book. I had someone that I spoke with who told me about how they never wanted to have a threesome, but they wanted to fantasize about it with their partner. Actually, it was his female partner who wanted to do this. And so they processed through and had a lot of conversations, and she was really shy, and a couple glasses of wine were involved. And he started to describe to her the other man who was in the room looking lustfully at her. That didn't exist at all. And she was so turned on. And it started this whole situation where they had all these threesomes all the time without ever having to invite an extra person in. And it was a wonderful transformation of their sexual relationship.
That's beautiful. That's a great, safe example.
Mm-hmm.
And something that can really expand people. So we're kind of winding down here, and I want to let you know that I can't wait to read your book. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what you're doing in the world.
Oh, thanks.
Just in terms of having people be well about their sexuality. And And I encourage people to follow you, to follow your blog, to go to exploringintimacy.com and find out more about what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Lori.
You're welcome. So I'm saying thank you to Dr. Ruthie. Neustifter. And we've just been talking about talking dirty and sexual well-being. I'd like you to stay tuned next week when I'm talking to my guests about what is sexy. What is sexy today? What is sexy from before? What is sexy? So thanks for listening to Sex and Happiness today. Don't forget my teleseminars on expanded female orgasm, expanded male orgasm, female ejaculation, and expanded orgasm for partners. You can find out about them at butterflyworkshops.com. Thanks for listening today, and I'll be back with you next time.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.